We're back with Gary Killingsworth of Gun Talk Media talking about gear. Gear? We're not talking about the hunt. We're talking about the gear. All right, welcome in, Gun Talk Hunt crew. You guys are here with KJ, your host, and we left off last week. Talking about not drawing for tags and the draw process, especially right up there in Oregon. So we did not even really get to touch on hunting gear. So I brought our good buddy and family member of Gun Talk Media, Gary Killingsworth, back in. And we are talking gear, but I want to take a moment and thank our sponsors. Who's this brought to you by? Gun Talk Hunt is brought to you by Tetra Hearing, Timney Triggers, the world's finest triggers, Hodgson, obviously the gunpowder people, and Remington Ammunition. With that being said, welcome back, Gary.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here. Appreciate it.
So last week we got into this talk and we almost started to touch on it. And if you haven't, go back and listen to last week's show. If you're interested in, you know, draw tags or a super secret Oklahoma draw tag that, like, doesn't cost hardly anything to enter, but you could draw a once in a lifetime tag. I've already said too much. Go back and check it out. But we almost started talking about gear, and I wanted to bring you into gear because we're on two opposite spectrums of gear. Like, you're hunting up in that, you're hunting up in the Northwest rain becomes a factor and you have like, just weird weather patterns. Like, you just have weird weather patterns.
Yeah.
My stuff that I hunt is largely like, I can look 10 days out and it's going to be pretty dang close.
Yeah.
So where do you want to start? Cause I've got a bunch of gear here laid out on the table and I've got backpacks. I've got, you know, waterproof bags. I've got bino harnesses. I've got boots. Do you want to start? Where do you want to start?
Ground up.
We're going to boots on the ground.
We'll go ground up. Yeah, there you go.
So we're going to go boots on the ground. What are you looking for? I guess first, what are you running? Because I think that's where we begin.
Yeah.
And then we go from there.
Yeah, you bet. So, you know, honestly, for me, I'm pretty brand loyal when it comes to, I mean, gear in general, but definitely footwear. You kind of find something that fits. I've been running Danners.
Yeah.
For years. I mean, you can never go wrong with Danners. In fact, I have the pair that I've been wearing. I mean, it's pretty simple. And they're not very expensive, but they're pronghorns.
Yeah.
400 gram, I believe.
Okay, so you are running an insulated boot year round?
Yeah, year round. I mean, there's days, you know, especially in September when it's still pretty hot that I kind of regret it, but you know, the thing is you get used to them, you get used to the fit. I mean, I have wide feet. And so, I kind of got into Danners. I mean, even like with work boots, you know, stuff around the house and et cetera. And so you get a feel for what fits, and I don't want to think about my feet at all. And for me, it doesn't really bother me if my feet get hot. I feel like I just don't notice it, but I do notice when they get cold.
When they get cold, it ruins a hunt. Like, I can tell you right now, and I know there's like countless listeners out there that are sitting there going, like, I know exactly what these guys are talking about, because I've been on hunts before where my whole body is completely fine. But when my feet get cold, man, my entire body says, hey, you need to take care of this, like, right now.
Exactly. And depending on the type of hunting that you're doing, I mean, you may have long periods where you're still, which, you know, as everybody knows, that's when the cold sets in. But you'll rotate that with, you know, periods of movement. I mean, definitely out here out west.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so,
I have a little trick that I'll do, and I don't know if they still make them, but Arctic Shield makes a pair of boot covers I primarily run a non-insulated boot, but I will carry these like little Arctic Shield. They look like giant, like boots with no laces is essentially what they are. And they're really designed to block wind is all they're doing. And so when I know it's going to be cold, like I'll, you know, I don't add socks. Like I might add a thicker sock, a synthetic sock, not like a complete straight wool sock. I'm doing some synthetic blend. But I will, the Arctic Shield stuff, like I have been super impressed with, especially like if you're a guy that sits there and goes like, man, my feet get cold just like I do. Cause I'm a giant wuss when it comes to like cold weather. And I just, I want to be comfortable. Like, cause I think that mentally that puts me in a better mindset.
Yeah.
And so those little Arctic Shield, man, I don't know where I would send people to even go purchase those, but they're not that they're a pretty cost effective little piece of equipment.
Yeah. I'll have to check those out.
Yeah. And they have, I kind of blew them out on my hunt and this was my fault. I blew them out and I've had them for like close to 9-10 years. On my trip to Iowa, cause the ground was, it was so cold.
Yeah.
And so like, I mean, there was snow on the ground. So I sat there and I would put them on at the truck and then I would walk in, which was a giant mistake. And then I'd climb up into the, you know, tree stand or something like that.
Right.
Well, it wore out the bottom of them really bad. I don't think I wore a hole completely through them, but a lot of the insulating factors and the wind blocking factors kind of left. So I'm going to have to find out where to get some more, but that's a piece of gear that I absolutely love.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's worth checking out. That's not something I'd considered before.
Yeah. But well, what I do in a lot of my gear, and I think a lot of people are starting to head this way, is I like to be as trim as possible. Like I don't like a lot of loose clothing or bulky clothing because that impedes movement. You know,
absolutely.
And the more you have to move or the more dynamic movement you have to make either in a stand or on a field edge, that's going to hinder your ability to close the distance or anything like that.
Yeah.
So that's my mindset.
Absolutely. Cause it's no secret. I mean, layering is key.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, especially with the technology, that's put into all this gear. It's layering is where it's at for sure. Although, I mean, we've all been out hunted by blue jeans and, you know, flannel guy.
Yeah,
for sure. And always will.
That happens. I mean, if you're hunting wind and you're hunting, you know, don't move and hunt with the wind you're going to be fine. But we love gear. And I'm talking to Gary Killingsworth of Gun Talk Media because he's just as much as a gearhead as I am. And now I will say, like where I hunt, there's rattlesnakes out and there could be rattlesnakes out in, I've seen them out in December. So I actually do run a snake boot and I'm going to say I've just pulled this off the ground. I run a lacrosse snake boot. It's a really tall boot. It's their Adder Scent HD. And I actually really like it cause you can slip it on. It doesn't have any laces or anything like that. But I do have a funny snake story for you guys real quick. We're going to work our way up. We've only hit the boots right now. So I'm sitting there on a field edge and I'm laying in like a mesquite thicket, under a fence. So my body is halfway under a fence, right? And it's about a 55 degree day. It's the second weekend of a rifle hunt. And so everybody is gone. Like I have nobody in camp. I'm hunting a mile away from the truck. I walked in. All right. You see where this is going. This is a lesson to us all. and so you know what you do in the middle of a hunt. And I had deer out in front of me. Like, actually I had like the night before I had like a good size 140 inch, like 10 point walk right in front of me, like 10 feet in front of me under this, but I was hunting the wind. I wasn't moving. It was great. Well, I'm sitting there the next day in the afternoon. It's about 57 degrees or so. Beautiful day, like bluebird skies. And like, I hear movement, but I had fallen asleep.
But not a good kind.
Well, I thought it was a good kind. And okay. I kind of just moved a little, and all of us, out of nowhere, you hear that rattle. Yeah. I mean, he was on point. Gary, I kid you not, I could have touched this thing with my hand. It was so close. So come to find out.
No, thanks.
Yeah. Come to find, I levitated. I did not.
Yeah.
I did not touch that barbed wire. I don't know how it happened. I didn't rip a piece of clothing, nothing, but I was out of there. And I was like, oh my gosh. And
probably sounded like a predator call.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I was squealing. I had deer out in front of me. So what was I going to do?
Yeah.
So I'm sitting there and my heart's just pounding. Cause I mean, I was rudely awakened.
Yeah. By, it's decision time.
Yeah. So I'm like, you know what? I've got to get rid of this thing. And I had stepped away for a second and I was like, well, I'm not going to shoot it. I'm going to beat it to death with some large stick. So I sit there and I go over and I find this stick and I'm like, all right, I'm ready for war. I go up there, can't find the snake anywhere.
Oh, that's the worst. Yep. Yep.
Like, come on, man, where are you at? Like I was hitting the bushes and all these deer are like, what's that guy doing? Like he's over there looking. Like I'm just trying to make this rattlesnake go off. And he's gone.
It's the smashing a spider on the wall thing, and you go to look, and it disappears.
Yes, gone.
Yeah.
He's gone.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, I couldn't find him. So, of course, what did I do? I laid back down, and I ended up shooting a great deer that night. So,
that's awesome.
You know, I don't learn from my mistakes. Okay, we're going to move.
It paid off that time.
Heck, yeah, it did. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it did. So, let's.
When you're not running snake boots, do you run gaiters? Have you gotten into those?
I haven't, and I know that's a big thing right now. I know that's a giant like market that people are like, oh, you got to run gaiters, you got to run gaiters, and I do believe there's some use to them. I really do. I know there's a lot of companies out there doing them. I know Kuyu's running them, TNK Hunting Gear's running them. I think Sitka has some. Everyone has gaiters now. That's kind of a big thing. And I think it's worth a look, especially if you were to come down to Oklahoma and you're running your Danner pronghorns, I think that would be a valid excuse to like 100% go for gaiters.
Right.
But I
think so too. I mean, and you've got blowdowns and things like that. Like, you know, especially out here, I mean, there's a lot of wood on the ground.
Yeah.
You're walking through all kinds of stuff and, you know, and it helps eliminate kind of the swish, swish, right?
Yes. Yep. But I mean, going on the swish, swish about with hunting clothing and stuff like that, there's some companies out there that do a very good job of eliminating that noise. And I've actually kind of stepped into running I'm running now Kuyu clothing. And again,
Kuyu is good stuff.
It's good stuff. They make quality stuff. Like their stuff is really good. But one thing I am noticing that it is a little bit loud. Like I've run Sitka before and it's very quiet. They do a very good job over there. No longer running that. Just cause like I'm a gearhead and I like running a bunch of different stuff because how else can I like say, oh yeah, I've got experience with that if I haven't used it. All right. I'm going to jump in here real quick. Gun Talk Hunt is brought to you by Remington Ammunition. Since 1939, hunters have relied upon Remington's core locked controlled expansion bullet. Now I wasn't alive back in 1939, but I will tell you this. I have shot this bullet a lot, and I do trust it. It is a phenomenal bullet construction. Its solid lead core delivers massive 2x expansion and weight retention. You know what? Remington's Core Locked is available in soft point and point soft point versions. Pointed soft point versions. Come on, get it right. Let's go with this. Find out more at Remington.com, and guess what? They're mass producing this stuff every day, 24/7. Gun Talk Hunt is also brought to you by Tetra Hearing. Audiologists are taking the time at Tetra to develop the Tetra Range Alpha Shield, which I am running right now. It's a new premium hearing protection product for the range or for the hunting fields. If you're like me, you need to change your habits. You need to get out in the field with your hearing protection. And this is what Tetra is all about. Visit TetraHearing.com and use the code GUNTALK, all caps, at checkout for 15% off. You'll love what you hear. And by Brownells. Are you ready to hit the range or the field but lacking ammunition? Brownells has what you need to feed your rifle, your shotgun, or your handgun. From the bench to the range to the field, Brownells has you covered. From 5.56, 2.23, 6.5 Grendel, 270 Winchester, 30-06, 308, whatever you need, they've got it. Fill your tag and put more game in your bag with Brownells. Get your ammo now at brownells.com/ammunition. And Springfield Armory. Okay, I understand Springfield Armory, you initially go to the M1A. Oh, yeah, they do that. They do that. But did you know that they also do hunting rifles? Oh, yeah, the Waypoint 2020 is a light backpacking gun that you're going to love taking out west into the mountains or across the fields. Get to know the Waypoint 2020 at springfieldarmory.com or visit thearmorylife.com.
Well, and if you're a gearhead as well too, if you change camo pattern, well, you got to start kind of changing everything, right?
Yeah, that
just doesn't feel right.
Yeah, but I'm kind of you'll start hunting with me enough where like I don't care what color of camo I'm wearing as long as it's quality built. And it is 100% quiet. I do notice with like a pair of like the Kuyu bibs that I'm running, there is a little bit of noise there, but I think gators actually would solve that problem.
Yeah, they probably would.
Yeah.
That's probably where you're getting your noise is around the ankles.
It is 100%. You know, unless I start walking bow legging, then we can move on from there.
Yeah.
And then I won't make any noise, you know. I'll have the traditional, like, cowboy gunfighter stance, like the arms real wide out, and then I just walk into a stand like that.
Then you're ready for some, like, some horseback high mountain elk.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, gosh. Yeah, that's coming up. I'm preparing for that. But, no, the boots I'm running right now when I'm not running a snake boot are the Crispy Nevada GTXs, uninsulated.
I've had my eye on those. I've heard that they are worth the investment.
And that's the thing. They are an investment because they're going to run you like somewhere right around $400. And that for me was a hard pill to swallow. But the guys that have run them are running them for like 10 years. Like they're running and they have like this ridiculous like lifetime guarantee type of thing where you can send them in, have them resold, and all that stuff. So I'm hoping the investment, and I'm in the process of working them in and getting them ready for season. So this is the first pair of Crispy Nevadas I've had.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you, the break-in process is a process. Like there is some truth to that. Like, there's just truth to that. I will tell you the other day, I was dang glad that I had a high top boot on because that was conforming to my ankle because I stepped off a bridge, rolled my ankle, and it could have been way worse. Like it was bad. So,
Well, and when you're in the field too, I mean, you're looking ahead, you're moving and you're not always cognizant of your foot placement.
Right.
I mean, it's just how it is.
Well, and I think that's a great point. That's a great point when you look at like, so you don't want to have to, the gear you use most, you don't want to think about. Because it's like your Danner pronghorns. Yep. If those work for you, you don't have to think about them. Like, is this going to work? Are these boots going to work? Or, you know, the key pieces of gear you have that you've used for a long time, you don't think about them, do you?
Yep, exactly.
Like, so that's...
And it's just that's like finding, you know, noisy sections of your gear, right? That's why, you know, hunters always put on a fashion show before, you know, before they pack up to go, right?
You walk out.
You're like, looking for those things. Yeah.
Wait a second. What was that? Well, I will say that I had a pair of Crispies that aren't the Nevadas that I was like, oh, those look great. They're kind of new. They're kind of a mid top. Like they're more of an athletic, like run and gun type of boot. And I was like, that's exactly what I need for this, you know, elk hunting, this hunting season. I wore them once, and there was a small, like, wink, 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 wink.
Yeah.
And I was like, nope, out the door. Yeah. Because when I'm in the woods, that's all my tetras are going to pick up is that sound of that thing. Oh, so, and it's, you know, but I like the idea of a fashion show. There's some truth to that. It's,
yeah. I mean, even if it's just for yourself, but you can't help but, you know, show everybody, right?
Yes. I mean, you want to go out and we joke about it, but that's things that in the field will come back to bite you or potentially bite you. I mean, if you don't, you don't use your gear that often and you're just out, man, oh, it's so frustrating. And I've done it before. Like, that's like, don't make the same mistakes. Like, use your gear. Like, I've got a new frame pack from Kafaru International, and I'm in the process of working those kinks out. And let me tell you, from a guy from Oklahoma who, like, when I go into hunt, like, I'm looking to be as streamlined as possible and not like heading out the backcountry like you do. Like, that's where, like, oh my gosh, like, when you're we see these guys rucking around the neighborhood, you're like, God, those guys are idiots. And, but then you go like, oh, I see what they're doing. You're testing your gear out. You're getting your hips like that. My hips are killing me right now because
that's the thing right there. I mean, all those little joints and all those muscles that you don't normally use. Yes. I can't remember the name of the muscle that's, you know, kind of where your hip meets your quads, right?
Oh, the hipsus flexus?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't know.
That one. sounds right. That one starts to burn, right? Because you're not used to high stepping. You're not doing that in your regular life.
And exactly.
All of a sudden, you're doing that for miles.
Right. And so so now I'm going, you know, 5-7 miles or so in, and I'm like, oh my gosh, my right hip is killing me. What has happened? And so you reassess, like, okay, you know, are my load straps at a good angle? You know, where is the hip belt in the right place? And I figured out it wasn't. Has the weight shifted in your pack to make your left side, you know, compensate for your right side, you know, or whatever it is. And when you go through that and you start, because I'm rucking with what is probably going to be 10 to 15 pounds over what my load in is going to be. And I've had to work up to that. Like, and that's one of the things where good packs and good frames are going to separate themselves.
Huge. Yeah. And they're just like boots. They are, I mean, you can find deals out there, but you're going to invest.
Yes. I will tell you, my back went out. So the elk hunt we talked about last week, my buddy drew out on it successful. I went in to help him. I had a big game. I mean, I think the whole frame pack, it was an external frame pack, had a load shelf on it and all that good stuff. I was hauling out like 70 pounds of meat, not expecting to, or at least 1/4, you know, at a time, and then go in and take all the strip meat, you know, the debone meat off. That was a brutal next week. Like, my legs were shot. My back was shot. Like, I was miserable. And I thought, I was like, man, this frame pack's awesome. It's going to be light and it's going to be easy to go. It was completely wrong for my body type. And that's one thing that I think a lot of guys don't understand is the fit to a lot of this gear.
It is not one size fits all. Absolutely.
No, I mean, because you're looking at these frames and, you know, you call like XO or, you know, Stone Glacier or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, you talk to those people, they'll help you out. Like, they'll help direct you. And I think that's one of the big things that a lot of guys don't do is take the time initially to, you know, go over these guys who review these packs. And stuff like that. Well, so
it completely, I mean, that's one of the things with gear. Right. And, you know, part of what makes it fun, I mean, there's so much to choose from, but there is definitely that, you know your gear, know your system, have it ironed out so you can really focus on the hunt and the enjoyment of, you know, being in camp and all that stuff, where you're not having to spend a lot of time kind of re-rigging your stuff. Yes. And pulling this out, putting this in.
It's funny because what I'm doing now is exactly what you're talking about. Like the fashion show, you're like going through those dress rehearsals, if you will, especially for stuff you're not. And gear is only part of it, folks. Let me like reiterate, and Gary knows this, gear is only a part of it.
Yep.
How you practice is going to be how you perform.
Absolutely.
And so, I'm shooting my bow every day. Like I take, I go ruck, and then you know what? I take that pack off. I set up for a shot, and I just concentrate on that break. Just concentrate, and that's it.
Make it second nature, right? Practice, and especially with bow. I mean, whether you're using a rangefinder or not, I mean, but you know, guessing yardage, just trying to get your eyeballs and your hands and your entire body kind of in sync, where it's second nature,
right? And that those controlled breaths and understanding, like, you know, pace yourself. Like this doesn't all come together at once, but so you are in the Northwest. Like the climate up there is ridiculous. And we briefly touched on, and I want to kind of touch on rain gear real quick. But that is something that most guys just breeze over and they go, man, a frog togs will work and it will.
Yeah.
But it's not breathable. It's not going to breathe for you. It's going to be miserable when you're in there.
That's right.
But what are you using right now?
I'm using Badlands. With the approach pattern.
Okay.
So Badlands, pretty much my whole system right now is Badlands, pack included, but rain gear, it goes with me everywhere. Whether it's on, or it's in the pack, you know, a lot of that has to do with climate. So you get up into, like the Cascade Mountains and, really anything can happen from, you know, September all the way through winter. There's days when you could get, you know, it could be 60 degrees in the morning and you could have a foot of snow by 2 o'clock.
Jeez.
Right. So you want to be ready for that, but especially as you're on the western side of the state, which is a legitimate rainforest, I've been told, it can change. Yeah. It can change rapidly. And it's not just getting rained on, itself as much as it is everything's wet.
Right.
And so everything you're touching, everything you're moving through is also, it's almost worse than, you know, the drops from the sky.
Oh.
And so having to wear rain gear a lot, it doesn't matter if you're fishing or hunting, you don't want to get hot, right? Because you'll put on rain gear and it could be one of those days where it's really rainy and then it warms up again. And you still got your rain gear on and all of a sudden you're sweating.
Yeah.
You're sweating and then you get cold. Then you've got a mask going on.
That's a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, but one of the big things, and this is me personally, but I always carry a sidearm, always. And with my rain gear, the Badlands stuff I'm running right now has belt loops. I mean, I could pull it on and pull it over a sidearm if it was an emergency and it was getting really wet. But if I know I'm, you know, re-rigging myself, I can run my belt through the rain gear over the top of my hunting pants.
Yeah.
Cause it's a priority.
It is. You got to be able to access it. I mean, easily. Yep. And that's something that, you know, a lot of guys don't think about. They just think that the rain pants are the rain pants. You just pull them up, cinch them down. But I think you've done a great job of just like thinking it out, like, okay, if I'm going to be wearing this, I want it to be functional.
Exactly.
And my rain gear is kind of the same way. Actually, funny story about how I achieved the rain gear that I did was I went and shot the Vortex Extreme Challenge, which is a long range kind of shooting deal. And on one night, like they had like the opening ceremonies or whatever you want to call it. And I won like out of a raffle, like a gift card to Kryptek. And I was like, oh, I know what I'm getting with that. That's going to be rain gear.
Like,
And it's good rain gear. It really is. But I did the same thing. I knew like before going in, like one day I want to do a nice set of rain gear because, you know, when you definitely, you have to have it.
Like,
you've got to, you'll value what you spent your money on.
Absolutely. Yeah. It shouldn't be an afterthought, even though it's likely going to be used a whole lot less than the rest of your stuff. But
and I know
it can make or break.
And that's one of the frustrating things about it is that I don't use it that much because out where I hunt, I just don't find myself in rainy situations. Now down here in Louisiana, like there's more of a chance that I will be hunting in the rain most of the time. Like there, it's just a fact, you know,
it's going to be wet.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Here. It's going to be wet. But yeah, it's just, man, it's just pay attention to your gear. So there's a lot of things, honestly, that we haven't touched on packs a lot.
Gloves.
Oh my gosh. My hands get cold. It's over.
Gloves are huge. I mean, that is a must have for me. I my hands get cold it kind of changes the whole day. But it's also, you know, remember to run your gear and know your situation with gloves on because it changes everything as well.
Now, I will shed a little kind of secret that I love running and I don't know a lot of people who do it.
That's weird.
I do. So I like them because they're tight fitting. I run a wide receiver's glove. The Neumann wide receiver gloves.
Oh yeah.
Like that you'll buy at Academy because they're so tacky. There is a lot of grip in there and you can really firmly grip. So if I know that makes me sound like, oh, he never left high school. He still likes to wear his receiver gloves.
Glory days, man. Yeah, it's okay.
I mean, man, relive the past. But
that's right.
It's the tackiness of them. Yeah. And it's just that grip that you get. And there are gloves out there that have a little extra texturing or anything.
These companies are making like the, leather palmed or leather finger gloves as well that are plenty warm and not overly thick.
Oh, yeah. Right? Yeah. I mean, it's great. That's kind of my glove system, honestly. Hot hands keep me happy most of the time. And it's such an easy deal to just have one in your pack.
Yep, for sure. And it can be something that's easy to forget. You know, as we were talking about the weather changes.
Exactly.
And your hands are going to get cold, especially if you stop.
It's going to be crazy.
Yeah.
Well, good deal. Well, I hope we get to have you on soon. And if I can talk our editors and producer Michael into having you on another week, we might do that because word is on the street that I get to see you live.
Yeah. Yep. In person.
In person. Like that might be a good one. You
can do your fashion show.
Oh, I'll do my, yes. Perfect.
There you go.
You creeper. All right, Gary Killingsworth, Gun Talk Media, man, thanks for joining in with us. As always, Gun Talk Hunt Crew, man, keep those muzzles pointed in a safe direction and always stay safe.